League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome back to the show. Gives me great pleasure, as always, to wish a very Merry Christmas to Mr. Malcolm Graham Wood. He runs Malky's blog. Tip TV don't give tips particularly often, but my tip of the day is if you don't get his blog, I suggest you take a look because it's free. Malcolm, happy Christmas to you.
Happy Christmas to you, Miss.
Right, oil. Before we go into the bucket list, okay, OPEC, obviously some good news for oil bulls. You had a year-end target, if my memory serves me correct, of $60.
Yeah. Which might
looks like you're going to be pretty close.
Might just fall into place, yeah. And I didn't move it around at all since May when we did the last change because I just thought that things were going to fall roughly like this. I mean, normally you don't believe it when OPEC say that they're going to try and do something. OPEC is the... it isn't called a tea bag for nothing. It only really works when it's in hot water. And it was in hot water and it needed to do something. You know, I just took the view, as you know, that on this occasion they had to do something. And for a number of reasons, but, you know, cynics would argue that with Saudis doing this sort of Riyadh 2030 and having that huge bond issue, and, of course, with Aramco coming to the market potentially next year,
yep.
Against the background of 30.
That's 20 times the size of BP, I read.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, they'll only loose off a little bit of stock, I suspect. Yep. But it's better to do that against a $60 oil price than 30. It's not going to be something for the punters or even companies. I think one or two of the big traders who actually do business with Saudi Arabia. You know, it might be Trafigura or Vitol, it might be one, two of the companies, China, CNPC, something like that. But the point is that they've decided that 2 years of the previous action wasn't going to work. They don't mind if they let the states off a little bit with shale. And accordingly, I think if they do these cuts in January and stick to them, you know, the really exciting bit comes in the second half of next year when we're looking a little bit short.
On the basis that you are... getting it so right at the moment. Where's your prediction for oil for the end of 2017?
Well, it will be higher, providing. I mean, what I'll do is I adjust it through the year. But effectively, you know, if it looks like OPEC are holding those cuts in the first half of the year, then it'll be higher than $60. And if they manage to extend it, say at the June meeting, and things are going well, then I should think that supply and demand will be pretty matched by the second half of next year. So in the short, medium term, I'd say if we hit 60 and stay there, my target for June will probably be 70. But a year out from there, it could be 80 or 90, because, of course, if we get back into supply and demand balance, it won't take much oil to come off the market. You know, and we could be going through the roof again. Don't forget, you know, the thing I've been saying to you all year has been about what started off as $200 billion of capex being taken off the market. It got to a trillion, now it's a trillion and a half. You know, you saw the other day that for the first time, people started to think, oh my God, we're going to be short. So BP announced that their thing called Mad Dog 2, which was the big field in the Gulf of Mexico, they are going to go ahead with the extension of that. Two interesting things there. First of all, if the partners decide to agree with them and they go ahead, they won't get any oil out of that until 2021, 2022. Just what I'm saying about a big gap being created. And the second thing is that it's 50% cheaper than it was when they first looked at it 2 years ago. So it's now $10 billion when it was $22 billion
right.
Before.
Okay, well, we've got one slide. I'd like to pull that. Anyone watching for the first time, you prepare a bucket list. We're going to do the full 2017 bucket list in January.
Yeah.
This is a recap of your bucket list for this year. If a CEO's watching this and he's not part of the bucket list, I've got to ask on his behalf, how did you get into Malky's bucket list?
Well, the bucket list I do every January, and it's an analysis of... It actually started with a client of mine who is not a specialist oil and gas person. He said to me, if you think of me as being an investment trust person, Can you put together a baker's dozen or whatever it happened to be? This is 14 stocks, which should cover a bit of everything in the marketplace. But they've all got to have roughly the same thing. So your senior man or your CEO, the company's got to have very good management, proactive management that can actually move when they're needed to. It's got to be very strong financially. It doesn't need to be, the last thing you want is to have a partner coming out with a cash demand that you weren't expecting, and having to go to the market. The market is a very unforgiving beast if they sense that you're short of money. So you have to be good, plenty of money, and your portfolio of assets has got to be good, preferably some production and some exploration. One or two of these are straight up exploration plays. The plan wasn't always to have everything doing about the same. There are one or two with exploration plays that have gone wrong, so the shares go down a bit, and one or two, as you can see, that have done really well. But you're trying to do a balance. Some people obviously just pick and choose stocks out of the list if they like. The initial idea was to say, I'll run that for the whole year, all 14 of them, and then we the losers and the gainers hopefully balance each other out. On this occasion, partly because of the oil price, I'm prepared to accept the fact that the oil price was at its low at the very end of February, and $27. But also because in there are one or two quite brave calls. I mean, if
what
we
was get, your bravest call of 2016?
I would think Tullow was probably the bravest call in a way, because this is a $3 billion market cap company. And the shares are up 200%. This is something where people could say, I don't want a Mickey Mouse stock that could go altogether. Tullow might have halved, but it wasn't going to disappear. The other brave call was probably the biggest, bravest call was Premier, because in January and February it was absolutely looking awful. A combination of the high debt. They hadn't done that deal, the North Sea deal, at that stage. They were just suspended. And they did a good deal. They've had a fantastic year operationally. They are still in some difficulty with a very big debt, a mountain of debt, as some people call it, $2.5 billion. And they're in the process of talking to the lenders about that at the moment, and that hasn't been easy. But operationally, it's been a good year. And then, of course, the other, I would say there are two or three other. The brave call was Sound.
Yep.
Really brave call. I've interviewed James Parsons in here two or three times. I really thought that he was onto things with a combination of assets in Italy and Morocco. And fortune favoured the brave. Sound made a big discovery. As I was teasing you before, you could have actually been all the way up to about June at 15 or 16p, made the big discovery, got up to a pound, actually peaked at a pound about a month ago. Right now, the big discovery is on extended well test. And then in January they'll drill the step out at Tendrara, which will be crucial to see whether they've got just a big field or a monster.
So which one gave you the most pleasure this year?
I suspect Ithaca, because Ithaca should never have been down at 20p. Ithaca is the real poster boy of the E&P sector, in my view. It had been knocked down for a whole bunch of reasons. I mean, one was that it had a rig in a yard in Poland, which should have been in the North Sea, and it was just over, taking too long, costing too much. But the management of Ithaca is absolutely first rate, and they have made a lot of money by carefully hedging in the last two or three years. And some people don't want to buy E&P stocks for the management to hedge it. But this management decided to hedge their oil a long way out. So they saved the company by having, checks coming in, selling oil at $70 when the price was $30. And they did very well. They've now got the rig in the North Sea. That'll be coming on beginning of January. It's going to more than double production to 20,000 barrels a day. It'll start bringing in cash. It'll pay off the debt. Is what's not to like, but it was well oversold at 20p. The shares have more than tripled. Look at that, 20p to to 90 or whatever it is. Yeah, I saw yesterday. We've got a month to go with these ones, yep. So you know, I want my babies over the line.
And just to balance it up.
Yeah.
Any hiccups?
Yeah. Well, you can see that the top Pantheon has been hiccup. They've had a quite tricky year operationally. You know, don't forget the year before they were up 700%. And I still believe that Pantheon have cracked the code, as they call it. But they're in the middle of drilling two wells right at the moment. And so, funnily enough, middle of January, when I bring it up, they will have announced both those wells. The one that is testing at the moment had a slightly difficult test result 2 weeks ago, and so they're continuing to test. And so if that comes in, that'll be okay. And then the other well is due to be at target depth at the end of December. So, you know, I haven't ruled anything out. There's a lot, you know, in the retail market, there's a lot of people would like it, people who don't, people who think that they've been spun a line here. I don't think that's the case. I think that they've got interesting... that their acreage in Texas is potentially... The upside is huge. My target price was 200p on this one. I haven't changed it. Look, it got up to 170 or something at one stage, and that's before it drilled these two wells. So it could easily be back up to 150. So I'm going to stick with my guns on that one. And Rockhopper is the other one. There are two others I should mention. First of all, Rockhopper. Now, the reason that is down is sort of on the Premier front, because their big asset is Sea Lion, and Premier own a whole bunch of Sea Lion, and Premier have got to decide what they're going to do with Sea Lion. It's going to be their biggest asset by a long shot in 5 years' time. But until they've negotiated with their lenders, they won't be able to do anything with Sea Lion at all. So, you know, literally, Rock Opera are just waiting there to find out what happens to them, because they're in a position of not being able to do anything about it. I still think it's a very, very good quality asset and will come into the market in 2020, 2021. And at the moment, this is a billion-barrel field, and we've talked about costs being down 50, 60% in the last 2 years.
Yep.
I think that's going to going to bear it out. And just finally, look at that far. Now, they are in the same discovery as Ken. And Ken, which is another, Ken is a beauty because, in a way, this is a 1.3 billion market cap stock, which is up 60% on the year to date. You don't get that very often. And the reason for that is that the market hadn't worked out quite how big the Senegal discovery was. Now, there's a specific reason why FAR hasn't changed, and that's because FAR have been desperately trying to, because Conoco walked away from acreage there. Woodside stepped in to buy it, but FAR have actually tried to force majeure and say we'll take that asset. I'm not convinced that it's been decided yet. So once it is, one way or the other, I think the FAR could be on the move as well.
Understood. We've run out of time. Yeah. You're going to come back in January to review the 2017 bucket list. In the meantime, you're going to do an interview for us with Europa Oil and Gas. We've got Mr. Hugh McKay. That'll be going out live at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. It will be on our website this afternoon if you want to take a preview of that. Malcolm, happy
Thank
Christmas
you
to you and your family.
Happy
Thank
Christmas.
You for your support this year. Hopefully the spreadsheet
good
will
be as good
as that.
Good luck for Tip TV. It's been a fantastic year for you. Well done.
We're going to wrap up with Mark the Couch, Win Stanley, the horse tip of the day. Have a good day. Thank you.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.